Your Bibles this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter number 31. Many of you know that verse that I'm going to read. It's used a lot at Mother's Day. I was thinking this week, 30 years or so, been 30 years or so Mother's Day, and after a while you find out, you try to figure out what else is there to be said, what can be said that you have not already said, and probably not, because the Word of God does not change, but I'm glad we can apply it differently and God can speak to us. And so this morning, I'm going to contrast, and I don't think I have ever done this, especially Mother's Day, contrast between an ungodly mother and a godly mother. And there is a great contrast. There's no comparison, so we don't use the word compare, but there is a great contrast between the godly and the ungodly. And the Scripture says here in Proverbs chapter number 31 and verse number 10, I'm just going to read this verse, and later on we'll look at some more of these. But the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Who can find a virtuous woman? A lady of high standards, a lady that has some conviction about her. Who can find that? And when you find that type of person, the Scripture says here that her price is far above rubies. It's far above the riches that the world might have to offer us. It's a great thing to have mothers that are godly and trusting the Lord. I'm glad that I was raised in a home that there was never any conversation about what we would do on Sunday. There was never any conversation what we would do on Sunday night or Wednesday night. It was just always you go to church. And I'm glad for the raising that I had. I'm glad for the mother and the father that I had, that God permitted me to be born into that family, and so many things instilled in us from those early years of life that we have even today. And I'm sure not only would that be my testimony, but that would be some of your testimonies also, that God has given us so many great things. But in the Scripture, you find there's a variety of different types of people. The Bible is all a good book, and the Bible has no errors in it. But the Bible does point out a lot of error, points out a lot of bad things. The Bible has within it a lot of bad people. We say the word bad, the better word is ungodly people. And there is a great contrast between righteousness and unrighteousness. There's a great contrast between the holy and the unholy, the good or the bad, as we call it. So this morning, I'm going to look at two ladies that's found in the Scripture. And I almost don't tell you this, but these are two sermons that I put together. Now, we're not going to be here for two sermon length, but we're here listening to two sermons. But this is the contrast. There's one that I want to give you on a lady that's found in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and then there's a lady that's found in the book of Exodus. They are greatly contrast to each other. They are certainly on the opposite ends of the spectrum. They are on the opposite sides of God. This morning, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 9, and verse number 22, there came a man, and I'll just give you some background, by the name of Jehu, who was king of Judah. And he recognizes some things that has taken place in the nation of Israel. Of course, if you know your biblical history, Israel divided into two parts after Solomon died, and they went their separate ways. There was two tribes that is called Judah, and then there's the rest of the ten that were called Israel. And they were still all God's people, but yet one chose to go one direction, one chose to go another direction. The people of Israel, the ten tribes, they They had very wicked kings. They started out bad, they continued bad, and they ended very bad. And they ended much faster than the kingdom of Judah. On the other hand, you have the kingdom of Judah that had good kings for the most part. Some of them were not as good as others, just like we have in our own country. But in the kingdom of Judah, or the land of Judah, every king was an offspring or a firstborn of the king preceding them. In Israel, it was not as such. It was just whoever had the power, whoever could come up with the most, and who could connive and do more wickedness than the other that would make them to be king. And one of the most wicked kings of all of Israel is by the name of Ahab. What made him as wicked as he was, what made him probably far worse, is because of the woman that he married, and you know her name. Her name is Jezebel. And in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 22, the king of Judah has come, and now he is in the kingdom of Israel. Concerning some of the things about Jezebel and Ahab, in verse 22 of 2 Kings 9, it says, "It came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And he answered, 'What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?'" Really what the king of Judah was saying, how can there be peace when there are so many and so much wickedness that has come from thy mother? So he's speaking to the son of Ahab and Jezebel. He said, how can there be peace as long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? You take a quick study, and we're going to do it very quickly this morning, upon this woman by the name of Jezebel. You'll find that the Scripture has nothing good to say about her. It's only wickedness. It's only the wickedness in her heart. And there's a number of things. The Scripture tells us that certainly she was an unconverted person. She served Baal. She served an idol that was such a tremendous influence in the nation of Israel. It was not just that it was another idol, and it was not just another thing on the side that someone might worship, but Baal was a worship that had infiltrated every facet and every part, every direction that Israel went. It was all affected by this false god called Baal. And the Bible says that Jezebel served and worshipped this god Baal. In 1 Kings chapter number 16 and verse number 31. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31. It says, "And it came to pass, if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him." So here's the union between Ahab and Jezebel. She was the daughter of a king of the Zidonians, or another nation, and that nation was a very wicked nation, and it was a nation that worshipped the false god of Baal. And so we know by this that she was an unconverted woman, so therefore she was an unconverted mother. And everything about her life, you'll find, is a result of her being unconverted, of her not being a follower of the God of heaven. She was an ungodly woman. You can find so many things about her in the Scriptures. You can find so many different clues that are given to us in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 4. The Scripture says, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water." Then verse number 13, the Scripture says, "Was it not, my Lord, that when where I did with Jezebel, slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets and 50 in a cave, and and fed them bread and water. So the Scripture says here that she destroyed, she killed the prophets of God. Not only was she a non-believer herself, but she hated those that believed God. She hated those that followed after God, and especially the prophets. You remember when they had the contest there on Mount Carmel. Elijah goes up and said, we're going to find out who God is, who really is God, and the God that sends the answer by fire, He is the one that we're going to follow Him. We're going to direct Him. And before that, she had slew so many of the prophets, and now they come to the head, and they find out who really God is. But Jezebel, ungodly mother, she was an underhanded mother. She was crafty and corrupt, and she was a callous woman. And I could give you many illustrations in the Scripture of her actions and the way that she worked. And it's just like people today that work that know not God. They'll do anything they can do to get their way and to have their way and to do what they want to do. It doesn't matter who it hurts. Doesn't matter who it destroys. Just give me my way. And that's the attitude of an ungodly person of like Jezebel. There was a man by the name of Naboth, and Ahab wanted his vineyard. And he wouldn't sell it to him. Well, here's the king. He said, this vineyard is right next to my home, right next to my house. So I want your vineyard. He said, I'll give you a different one. I'll give you one better. Or I'll give you money for what you have. And Naboth said, I don't want to sell. I don't want to give it up. Well, he had the right to say that. It was his vineyard. It was his life. It was his livelihood. And just because it was next to the king's house doesn't mean that the king ought to own it. Now, there's a lot of people today feel the same way, aren't they? They have the same idea that if it's yours and I want it, it ought to be partly mine. And so he would not sell, and Jezebel sees Ahab distraught. And she tells him, I'm doing it in my words now, telling the story. She said, don't you worry about it. And I'm sure she probably said, now don't worry about it, honey. It's going to be all right. And she connives a scheme. She connives a way that Naboth is killed. She brings false witnesses against this man just simply because he would not do what Ahab wanted. Brings false witnesses and has him killed. And guess who gets the property right next door? Right next door to the king's house. Well, of course, Ahab did. She was a conniving, skillful, underhanded person. She's an ungodly lady. She's an ungodly woman, and she uses her ungodliness and does what she wants to do. She tells us, it tells us in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 25 that she stirred up wickedness. She just stirred it up, kept it going. She was a hater of God. She was a hater of God's people, and she stirred it up to keep things moving and keep things struggling. We know that she was an uncaring mother. She only cared about her outward beauty. When Jehu came to see her, the Bible says she painted her face up so she would look attractive to him. She was only considering and only concerned with what outside effect would have. She was an undesirable woman. God tells us that how she was killed and how she was destroyed and how that the prophet said tomorrow or the next day, you're going to die this way. And guess what? She died just like God said she'd die. And they didn't have enough even to bury her. My memory serves me. The only thing was left of her after that night that she had been killed was the palms of her hand. Her part of her face and something else. I don't remember. But there wasn't much left of her because, guess what? The dogs came and ate her. And God prophesied through the prophet that's what would happen to her, and that's how she'd die. Now that's the portrait of an ungodly woman. That's the portrait of someone that cares less about God. And you can hang that portrait in a lot of homes today because there's a lot of people that live just like she lives. And I don't say that demeaning to people. That's just truth, and we know that. That's just the way some people live. That's the way some of our nation... I'm glad this morning, we that have gathered in here, we're on the other side of the spectrum, praise the Lord. And we'll see that in the morning. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on wickedness. We see enough of that. If you turned on your TV this morning, you heard about that. Before you went to bed last night, if you listened to the news, you heard about wickedness. You heard about the killings. You heard about the murders. You hear about all things that are going on all around the world. That's a result of an individual that lives like Jezebel lived. And so many times they die like they live. And so there's no comparison, only contrast. Now if you would, turn with me to the book of Exodus. There's a lady that's mentioned here that is far more enjoyable to read about in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. In Exodus chapter number 2, we read these verses, starting with verse number 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him... took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dubbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she lay it in the flags by the river bank. And the sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Here we have a lady that's mentioned. By the way, it's not Pharaoh's daughter. It's Moses' mother. We have a lady here that is of high character. We have a lady here that is of a godly character. We have a woman that in this passage doesn't even give us her name. We find that she is a woman that is very determined that she's going to do right. Now we have to remember what's taking place in the land of Egypt at this time. There's a Pharaoh that has come on the scene that knew not Joseph. And so therefore he put great task upon the people of Israel, because they were becoming much stronger, and the population of the land of Goshen was becoming more and more. He was fearful. He said, they're more than we are. And they're in our land, and there's more of them than there are of us. So we've got to do something to stop this population growth. You better watch out when people start talking about population growth and how to take care of it. It always ends up in the murder of babies. And so Pharaoh said to the nursemaids and those that helped deliver the children, he told those midwives, he said, "When a male child is born, you make sure that they die. Now, if it's a girl that's born, she can live. But the male is to die." Why? Because they're more than we are, and we're we're going to be attacked by them one day, and they're going to be stronger than we, and so we're going to take care of this population growth. And so, you can read the verse right before verse 1 of chapter 2, that last verse of chapter 1 gives you, let's just read it, it gives you here what is taking place in the time frame. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." So here is an edict from the Pharaoh, from the king of Israel, or king of Egypt, probably the strongest, probably the richest, probably the most armed nation of the world of that day. And here's the leader of that country saying, "Kill the baby boys. We don't need them." And there's been a lot of instances when that takes place. There are two real prominent instances when a edict has been given to kill the children. And one of them is here when Moses is born, and the other one was when Jesus was born. And it seems as though every time a law is made to kill children, something great is on the horizon. I believe the next great thing on our horizon is the coming of our Lord. I don't have the statistics in front of me. I don't remember, but how many babies are aborted or killed every year in so-called Christian America? And God will judge us for that. But here is the message that comes from the Pharaoh. You let the daughters live, but every son that is born ye shall cast into the river. Well, here's the portrait of a godly mother. Let's look at her credentials. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. "And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi." Her credentials are that she is a wife. Now that's not too important in our day and time, is it? That's not too high up the list anymore, that you have to be a wife to have children. I mean, it's just, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's okay. We can live the way we want to live. We can do what we want to do. But the credentials of this lady is she's a godly lady and she's a wife of a Levite. That's the priestly tribe. She's a wife of a Levite. She's a Levite. By the way, they married within their own tribes during that day to keep things pure and to keep things right. And so her credentials are, first of all, she is married, she is a wife, and she is going to become a mother. Now, Jezebel was a wife, and she became a mother, but my, what a trail she left behind her. Well, here's this wife. And verse number 2 shows her courage. Remember now, the law had been passed, or at least the statement had been made, kill the children. And in verse number 2, "And the woman conceived and bare a son." Well, the message was that when a son is born, you cast him into the river. Well, she did, but just a little different way. And so her courage is given to us, and it is seen in that she marries a Levite and they have a child and they see that that child is a son, and she saw that he was a goodly child. She saw something special in that man or that baby that's later going to be called Moses. She saw something different in that. I wonder why. Maybe it was maybe that God had opened her eyes a little bit, that you've got something special there. I believe every child that's born into a home is something special. Every child. And so she looks upon that baby, and you mothers know more than anybody else, immediately the love or the bond between that child and that mother. And she had enough courage to conceive and to bear a son, and she was a courageous woman because she was willing to if need be, go through problems and break the law and break the message of the Pharaoh. She had the credentials that her and her husband had this child. It was their child. And she saw that child was a goodly child. Later on, he became a godly man. And she hid him for 3 months. Now, that's difficult. Or she hid him after 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took arkabulrush, dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein and laid in the flags by the river brink. So she had that child, and when a child is first born, you can't tell if it's a boy or girl crying. Or I can't. Mother can. I was looking at some old pictures last night, and I saw a picture of my grandmother. She was 18 months old. And I looked at that and I said, oh my goodness. And she had so many facial features that my grandchildren have. And I showed it to Sharon. I said, who's that look like? She said, well, it looks like James. I said, well, I think it looks like Rebecca. And so I sent it to Amy, and she sends a message back to me. She says, wow. I didn't put no words with it. I just sent the message who it was, and she says, wow. I said, who's it look like? I got outnumbered. But we find that they were willing to have this child, and for a while it could cry and nobody would know it was a boy. But a little bit later, time goes on, and there's a distinction between a girl and a boy in their cry. And so she's very courageous, but she has confidence. She doesn't have a lot of things, but she has confidence that God's going to help her. Look in verse number 9 and verse number 10. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, speaking of the mother, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And I'll guarantee you, she took the child and took care of that child. She walked away smiling with the biggest smile on her face. I've got my baby boy. Not only do I have my baby, I'm getting paid to take care of it. I'm getting wages to do that. She's doing something that she would do for nothing, and Pharaoh's daughter said, I'll pay you to take care of this baby. Somebody said, oh, that's just by coincidence. There's no coincidence with God. God has a plan for this little baby that she saw was a goodly child. God had a plan for him, and of course we know the history of Israel and Moses, my, how he was used of God, and my, what a blessed mother he had. She had confidence, and she said, I'm going to hide him in the river, and God's going to take care of him. How would you have liked to have hid your baby in probably the River Nile, there in the flags and the bulrushes, and just put him in a little old, what we'd call a miniature little boat with a top on it, and had it pitched inside and out so it wouldn't sink. That, by the way, that's what they used on the ark, too. And that meant atonement. Pitch is atonement covering. And here she puts him in, and the older sister says, I'm going to watch what happens. I believe it's a daily watch. I believe the mother instructed her every day, you go find out how that baby's doing. Had to be taken care of. And she watches, and here one day, here's the whole entourage of Pharaoh's daughter. She didn't travel like everybody else. She's the daughter of the king. She had her people with her. She had her folks to take care of things while she bathed in the river. And while she's there, she sees this ark over in the bulrushes and the flags. And she looks upon that baby, and she knew what her father had said. Surely, all the boys are going to die. But she looked upon that, and I really believe God put it in her heart that this one's not going to die. You say, you believe God does that? I believe God controls it all. He controls the ways of man, the thoughts of man, the movements of man. God has all total control. And so, here's Pharaoh's daughter. She looks and she says, she goes down there by the riverside and she sees that. She opens up and she saw the child and behold, the baby wept and had compassion on him. And then she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Here's a mother that has hid her child because she doesn't want him to die. This is a Hebrew baby. And the Bible says that she had compassion on that child when she heard it cry. Now, I've tried to read about Pharaoh's daughter and a little bit of details. She was according to most, she was a married lady, but she had no children. Could not have children. And so immediately when she saw that baby, she had that desire in her heart. I want that baby. It's one of the Hebrews. And here's the sister of Moses watching in the background. All of a sudden she appears and she's there for a reason too. And she sees her and in verse number 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. So she comes out of hiding, comes to Pharaoh and said, shall I go and call to thee a nurse? Don't you think we need a Hebrew nurse? You know who she was thinking about? She went and got her mom. And she said, Mom, it's all working out. This lady had great courage and was a godly mother and had confidence in God that if Moses was a goodly child as she thought he was, God would take care of him. And here comes the sister one day and says, Mom, they found the baby and they want you to raise the baby. What a blessing. Notice Pharaoh's daughter says to her, go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away. I bet she said, I'll be glad to. I'd love to. Take her to your house. Take Moses, take that baby to your house. And you raise him. And the Bible says that this woman that had the credentials and the courage and the confidence to do all these things, she also had charity. Or in verse number 9 and 10, it says, the woman took the child and nursed it. But notice verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, Pharaoh's daughter. The mother of this one that would be known as Moses is so happy and so gracious that God has placed the care of that child in her hands that when the appointed time came, she gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter. What charity she had in her heart. I think primarily, probably because I'm just glad he's alive. I'm glad he's not like all the other babies that were born. I'm glad he wasn't destroyed. I'm glad he is living. I'm glad he is alive. That's the charity of a mother. It's sort of like Solomon when two women had two babies. One of them died. One of them was alive. And they were fighting. And Solomon said, well, we'll just cut him in half and we'll give both of you a part. And the true mother, she said, no, don't do that. Give him to the other. And that act of that mother, Solomon knew who the real mother was. Because a mother wants to protect her child. And so this lady that has raised Moses for this time, she brings him to Pharaoh's daughter to become her son. And again, some historical records tell us that one day, as, by the way, the Pharaoh's daughter calls him Moses, uses a Hebrew term, Moshe. And history says that one day as Pharaoh and the daughter and Moses was sitting at the table together eating, the daughter of Pharaoh gets up, takes the crown of the Pharaoh and places it on Moses' head, indicating that he would be the next Pharaoh. What a trip that is to go from the bulrushes of the river to the throne of Egypt. Don't have time for all the in between. Look now in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. Well, we'll look at verse 23. Hebrews 11, 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." There's that courage he was talking about. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, the crown has been placed upon him. And as Moses comes to years now, what does it say? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather the affliction, or rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season." He's a goodly child. He's a proper child. And he's a godly man, all because he had a godly mother. Thank God for godly mothers. Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She arriveth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and the portion to her maidens. She considers the field and buyeth it. The fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands hold of the staff. The Bible says in verse number 23, her husband is known in the gates. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. That's the portrait of a godly woman. She's a godly wife. She becomes a godly mother. Her children rise up and bless her. I know which side of the spectrum, if I was any woman, I'd want to be on. I know which side of the spectrum I would be on as a man. I wouldn't want to be like Ahab. Ladies shouldn't want to be like Jezebel. I personally have never met anybody named Jezebel. Some of you have, I think. I haven't. It's not a very popular name, by the way. You know why? This story. May God bless godly mothers. And may God save ungodly mothers. He can, if we'll let righteousness prevail. If you would, all mothers, if you would stand for me this morning. As a mother, if you would stand. Seven or eight, I think. God bless each of you. I'm going to do something a little different. Put you on the spot now. It's okay, I hope. Come here, Case. Come here. Yeah, come here. Give those to all those ladies standing, one to each one of them, on this side right here. Okay. Megan, come here. Just got home from college, just graduated from Pensacola. Praise the Lord. Glad to be home. Amen. One, two, three. If we miss one, by count, you let me know. Come here, Jeremy. About time I pick on you a little bit. He's picked on me plenty of times in school. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. We'll make sure mothers get them. I ought to hand that one with a hug. Okay, everybody got one? Didn't miss anybody? God bless you all. Now let's all stand. Let's all stand.